we continue on today in the series Church Life, we turn again to Colossians, the third chapter, and verse 13. Colossians, the third chapter, and verse 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Dear congregation, Jesus gave direction in prayer, commonly called the Lord's Prayer. Well, in verse 4 of Luke chapter 11, we read this, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. One is to seek that daily forgiveness, and as they seek it, there is this mind of forgiving others. Well, in the church, if we consider the life of the church, there is to be the spirit of forgiveness in the heart. And where there is repentance, that forgiveness will be intimated or made known openly to the offending party. Let's consider what our Lord said in Luke 17, verse 3. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. There's the spirit of forgiveness in the heart. One has this spirit. Where there comes repentance, forgiveness will be intimated or made known to the offending party. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. That is that open, making known that forgiveness. Now last week we considered in verse 12 the right clothing in the church. And you recall those words in 1 Peter 5 verse 5. Likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. You see there the garment of humility. Putting the Lord first, others second, and ourselves last. There's that clothing. We considered other items in verse 12. The right clothing is there before us, and certain garments, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. So there we considered the right clothing. But the apostle continues on from verse 12, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now we notice as we come to verse 13, the apostle speaks of forbearing one another. Bearing with, enduring, suffering, forbearing. In a difficulty, one is to be forbearing. One has done you wrong, there is to be this forbearing. Now we notice the garment, as we considered the right clothing last week in verse 12, long-suffering. And as we think of long-suffering, there is to be this patience, this endurance, this persevering, especially when others cause you difficulty or trouble. So we think of the right clothing of long-suffering, and in light of that, the apostle goes on to say in verse 13, forbearing one another. You see the connection there between verse 12 and verse 13. There is to be this forbearing, this long-suffering. But let me say this at this point. We are to have a spirit of forbearing. But the one who's causing you the difficulty should not take advantage of your forbearing spirit. One may say, well, they've got to be forbearing. They've got to be forgiving. It doesn't matter what I say then. It doesn't matter if I carry on the way I am. We must not take advantage of one being forbearing, or as we will consider this morning, having a forgiving spirit. Some may say, well, that's how we're to be in the church, and that's right. So it doesn't matter if I don't put things right in my life. Don't take advantage of a loving, forbearing spirit or a loving, forgiving spirit. Sadly, some Christians do. They take advantage of the Christian who's been forbearing and who has this spirit of forgiveness within. Well, we considered the right clothing last week in verse 12. Following on, verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man had a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Well, today we consider forgiveness in the church. Forgiveness in the church. And as we consider this here before us in verse 13, first of all, we'll consider the quarrel. Secondly, forgiveness. And then thirdly, Christ. Firstly, the quarrel. Secondly, forgiveness. Thirdly, Christ. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now we often hear this word quarrel in the world. Someone has a quarrel over land. Maybe somebody's in a shop and they have a quarrel with another person. They're not happy and there's this quarrel. But what does the apostle speak of here? We need to understand what we are considering here. When we think of a quarrel, it's often two who are at fault having an argument. But let's consider what the apostle is saying here before us. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now we have the Greek word, which is translated here as quarrel. It also means fault, blame. Blame is put to one. They have committed a fault. Something has happened. And they're to blame. That's the meaning of the word quarrel. It's not an argument, as the word is often used today. No. Rightly, one can point the finger. They've done wrong. They're to blame. They're at fault. Someone's done you wrong. You know they're to blame. They're at fault. You consider on the roads, sometimes there's an accident. The insurance company will want to know whose fault it was. I remember a number of years ago, we had to admit it was our fault when there was a little scratch on the bumper of the car. Years earlier, someone went into the back of my car. I got out, it was a dear old lady, and I said, "Don't worry. Are you all right? Just go on your way." She was at fault, but there was no problem with the car. But you understand, the insurance company will want to know whose fault it is. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, they know that that other brother or sister is to blame. Is it fault? It's not an argument, no. In the modern uses of the word, it literally means that that brother or sister knows that that other one has done them wrong. They're at fault. Sadly, such things occur in the church. Wrong things are done. Wrong words are said. Bitter words. Wrong actions. Lies can be spoken. That was the problem, was it not, in the church of Colossae, verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that he had put off the old man with his deeds. There was false witness in the church. People were lying, covering up things, lying in the church. And sadly, there can be lying today. Faults take place in the church. The church here upon earth is made up of sinners. So we expect there will be those who will offend us, and sadly we may be those who offend others as well. There are those to blame in the church. Believers get injured. Believers get hurt. A sharp word hurts one. We need to be so wise with what we say. We need to be so careful. You see, we do not want to cause a fellow beloved brother hurt or to stumble. The unguarded, the unholy conversation can hurt. How we need to think about what we do and what we say. Could it cause offence? Sadly, sometimes one thinks that's going to hurt that other person, so I'm going to say it. They're at fault. They're to blame. Now, our Lord in Matthew 18, as we considered a few weeks ago, gives instruction on how to deal with an offending brother in the church. Now, when we come to these things, there's some Christians think, oh, don't say anything. Just love. Well, with love in the heart, there will be those who will seek to say a loving word. Matthew 18, verse 15, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. That's interesting again, isn't it? His fault, the quarrel, we could say, between thee and him alone, if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. That's how members of the church are to act. If that doesn't work, the member will take someone else with them, or another person as well. And if that doesn't work, as we see in Matthew 18, it becomes a matter for the church, and the elders then will take the lead in these things. But we see how the Lord has laid out these things, where there is a fault. Come over to Luke 17, verse 3. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. That's what the Lord teaches. Rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. There's to be the spirit of forgiveness. So that you go and rebuke them. Well, if they do repent, then that forgiveness can openly be intimated, as the Reverend John Brown of Haddington puts it. We are responsible. We need to say sorry. And you can't expect the closeness so much unless there is an apology or repentance. Open forgiveness will be intimated when one says sorry. There's already the forgiveness in the heart. But our Lord makes plain this open, this forgiving openly, it's intimated, make known, no, I'm sorry. You're sorry, I accept it. Or see how the Lord gives instructions in the church. If we think of those things there, how one is to be rebuked, and then there comes this forgiveness intimated, is this not seen in the cases of church discipline, censure, in 2 Corinthians 2, verses 6 and 7? When repentance comes. Now, in church discipline, there will be the forgiving spirit in the heart of the elders to begin with. But there has to be church discipline. And if one repents, that forgiveness can be made known, as we see in 2 Corinthians 2. Now, sadly, in the church, one can be injured. There's no perfect church, and there is no perfect member. And as pastor, I've seen people injured here in the church throughout my pastorate. People have said wrong things. People have done wrong things. It ought not to be. But consider further. The king has observed. He's looked down on the congregation. He looks down on congregations. He rejoices. But he also is grieved by that bitter fault, that bitter word, that wrong action, that lie, that pretending. He's grieved by these things. He's grieved when there is fault in the congregation. People are at fault. People are to blame. There is to be the right action. But there is to be the spirit of forgiveness. And when there is repentance, that forgiveness can be, in a precious way, made known. Well, that leads us now to consider forgiveness, secondly, here in our text. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Forgiving one another. We have here the word forgiving. Literally, in kindness to pardon. to deliver. Now there needs to be the spirit of forgiveness within the heart. There needs to be forgiveness within. Consider Christ on the cross. Luke 23 verse 34, Father forgive them for they know not what they do. What an example of forgiveness in the heart. They're truly amazing words, aren't they? Father forgive them for they know not what they do. And so we see there is to be a forgiving heart or spirit even in the absence of an apology. The forgiveness can be made known openly when somebody generally, humbly says sorry. But before, there is to be the forgiving heart, the spirit within. In the absence of an apology, we're to follow Christ's example. Remember what our Lord taught us to pray each day, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Every day we need to seek forgiveness, we'd have a heart of forgiveness every day. From the heart, Jesus said in Matthew 16 verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your Father also will forgive you. A professing believer should be known for a number of things, as we saw last week. Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearance, and having forgiveness within. We're to be known for forgiving. Oh, that brother or sister, they forgave me when I said sorry. I knew they had a forgiving heart and I did them wrong. I was to blame. I was at fault. They came and told me and they forgave me. That's a comfort, isn't it? I remember as a child, I'd done something wrong. My mum had such a heart of love and so did my dad towards me. But they told me I'd done wrong. A little later, such an embrace, such love. You're forgiven, Aaron. That was precious, wasn't it? That was a comfort. They were known for having a forgiving heart. We're all to be known for having a forgiving heart. Forgiving one another. Now, what does this forgiveness involve? Now, when we think of God forgiving, he forgives sins committed against him. And it's very different to how we are to forgive those that trespass against us. No pope, no priest, no man can forgive sin in the way that God forgives sin. No man can act in the place of God. No sinner can remove the guilt of sin in the sight of a holy God or free one from the obligation to punishment. No man can do that. God alone. And when we think of those who are already justified, no man can remove fatherly displeasure or free one from fatherly chastisement. We can't do that. Only our Father can do that. When we fell, we're subject to fatherly chastisement. Only he can forgive in a fatherly way. We can't do that, can we? This must be underlined. It is vastly different how we are to forgive one compared to the way God forgives. It is God's sole prerogative to forgive in the way he forgives alone. Isaiah 43 verse 25, I even I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Mark 2 verse 7, who can forgive sins but God only? You see the point there? But God only. Only God in the way that he forgives sin can forgive. However, we are exhorted to forgive others. Now, all sin is committed against God. However, there is that which is done, which is wrong against us. We are to forgive only as it has injured us. We can be injured. An unkind word. A proud word that puts us down. We can be hurt by one's actions. We can be injured in many ways. But our Lord exhorts us to forgive. Matthew 6, verse 14, we have this encouragement. If ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. What does that mean? That we can be assured, if we have forgiveness in our heart, that our heavenly Father has forgiven us. We're not forgiven because we forgive others, but we can be a comfort. If we have this forgiving spirit, our heavenly Father has forgiven us. What an encouragement there. Well, let's think of this forgiving. In Matthew 6, verse 14, we read, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses." Let's look particularly at the word there in Matthew 6, verse 14, forgive. Literally, it means to send away or lay aside. To lay aside. Now, last week, we considered certain things were to be laying aside, putting off. Notice verse 8. "But now ye also put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth." We're to be laying those things aside. And as we saw last week, verse 12, we're to be putting on certain things. The right clothing. The laying aside. Well, think of forgiveness in light of Matthew 6, verse 14, is to send away. Lay aside. Not the person, of course. When you forgive, you don't send a person away and never see them again. No. You send away or lay aside certain things. In forgiving, we exercise love. Whilst laying aside any anger, also any resentment, grudge or bitterness that may come into the mind. So there's the laying aside of those things. But also, in doing that, one shows kindness. And we see this in Ephesians 4, verse 32. "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you." You've been upset, you've been hurt. You may have an anger in your heart, and it's a righteous anger. But in forgiving, you put certain things to one side, any resentment, grudge or bitterness, and you show kindness. Now you consider you're to have this forgiving spirit. When one says sorry, you intimate that forgiveness. Luke 17. And so when one repents, you show them such kindness. "I forgive you. It hurt me." Not wrong to tell the person it hurt you. Remember Joseph. "Ye did evil against me." The old commentators point that out. "Ye did evil against me." It's not wrong to say, "Well, look, you did this wrong. But I love you. I forgive you. You said sorry." So we can go on. It says laying aside and showing kindness. Listen to James Fisher. "To wish and to do them are offices of kindness that lie in our power." There'll be a laying aside, but also a kindness. You hurt me, but I'm going to show kindness. We respond in the right way. And this is what we see in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 15. "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." So then, rendering good for the wrong that was done. It's part of forgiving. Laying aside certain things in the heart, having great kindness in the heart, but also in the mouth and in the hand. Now it's to be from the heart. Turn with me to Matthew 18, verse 35. "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." There's the warning there. But do you see the point? It's to be from the heart. We know when it's from the heart, don't we? We know when it's from the heart when we truly say sorry. We know when it's from the heart when we truly forgive. And so does our Heavenly Father. You know, children, sometimes I would quickly say sorry to my mum and dad. Not because I was, but I didn't want to have to face something like go to my room. The Lord knows if we truly say sorry. No deceiving him. The Heavenly Father knows if we've really put things right from our heart, we've really said sorry. And he also knows if we really forgive from the heart. Now let me pause and say this. We need to ask God to help us in this, because it will not be easy to forgive at times. I remember one day pushing an elderly lady in a wheelchair up a slope at the care home just round the corner. The manager asked me, could you help? So I did. I pushed this lady up, and what did I do? I accidentally, I say, ran over the manager's foot. Oh, she was in such pain. She was in agony, and I said, sorry, I didn't mean to do this. And she was trying to keep back the tears, and she forgave me. It wasn't easy, but I'm thankful she was able to forgive me. It may not be easy. Our patience may be tested. Particularly if somebody said sorry to you over something, but the next week and the next month they do it to you again, you're going to be tested a little more. And it won't be easy. Maybe somebody's injured you and the hurt is deep. They've been so unkind to you, so unloving. They haven't shown you love as you ought to. The action was so unkind and you struggled. Ask God to help you to forgive. Sadly, in the church, there can be immoral behavior, as we see in Corinthians. It takes place sadly. A spouse may be greatly hurt by an affair. The husband has gone off with someone else, maybe another lady. Or the wife has gone off with someone else, another man, and it hurts the innocent party. And it won't be easy. Those things are never easy to forgive, particularly if there's not this clear repentance seen in the life. But God will help you to have a forgiving spirit. You ask the Lord to help you. Things can really hurt you. Things that haven't really been put right and they still hurt you. Ask the Lord to maintain a forgiving spirit within so that when one really says sorry, you have that forgiveness ready to intimate towards them. The Lord is able. It's not easy at times. Some things really hurt us. Some things really affect our minds and we struggle. But God's able to help. Remember Joseph, what he faced for all that time, how he was so cruelly treated by his brothers. The Lord helped him to forgive. Stephen, he was being stoned. Father, forgive them. Oh, how he was helped in his dying hour to forgive. You may have your struggles, but the Lord is able to help. There was a certain man who did me wrong in the workplace a number of years ago. And I used to struggle to go in because he used to say things against me. And this went on for years. But the Lord helped me. And one day he came up to me. It wasn't long before I was leaving. But he came up to me and he said this, I want to show you something. It was a New Testament and Psalms he'd been reading for months now. I was so thankful the Lord helped me. And you know, when he showed me that New Testament Psalms, I was so helped and I found it so easy to forgive. Because I had seen the Lord work in his life and I knew there was a genuine turn in his life. It won't be easy. Maybe something that's really hurting you. Something that hadn't been put right. Ask the Lord to help you to forgive. And so when that person does say, sorry, we trust, you can show that open forgiveness. The Lord is able. But in our text, there's a great assistance to us as we struggle in forgiving at times. And what's that? We notice at the end of the verse, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And that leads us to consider finally this morning, Christ. It may be difficult. You may struggle because you're hurt. Hurt by actions. Hurt by words. Hurt by the lack of love shown to you. But you consider Christ. Oh, consider Christ. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Remember, Christ has forgiven you. Doesn't this put things into perspective, doesn't it? He is God. He forgives. There's forgiveness with him. Remember those words in Matthew 9 verse 2? Behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, and said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. He's God. He forgives. In Acts 5 verse 30, we read, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom he slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a saviour, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. It's in his power, isn't it? As the apostle made known there, such forgiveness. And dear brothers and sisters, we have known judicial forgiveness. That is, God as a judge forgiving all our sins in justification because of Christ's precious blood. You may be struggling in your heart because you're so hurt. You know that that person may be taking advantage of you because you have a forgiving, loving spirit, but you're so hurt. Remember Jesus and his precious blood. That through his precious blood, your sins were forgiven. We grieve him at times. But consider there is fatherly forgiveness and Jesus forgives. The king forgives his subjects. And are we not thankful for that? He has such a heart for us. He forgives. He's grieved at times over my sin. Yet there's forgiveness when I humble myself and seek that fatherly forgiveness. He forgives. Let's have a forgiving spirit and let's be ready to forgive others. Consider how often he forgives. How often does he need to forgive me? You know the answer. How often does he need to forgive you? What are we taught in prayer? Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive those that are indebted against us every day. And are we not thankful for that forgiveness we have known so often? Consider Jesus then, what he has done for you, and have that spirit of forgiveness. And the Lord will bless you for having that spirit of forgiveness. The person's not said sorry to you. And you may have to wait years, sadly, for something to be put right. In serious cases, church discipline begins, as we see in Matthew 18 and 2 Corinthians, because it must, in love for the good of the offending brother or sister. But oh, you're forbearing. But you consider this, the Lord understands. He'll support you. He'll encourage you and support you with a forgiving spirit. You may have to wait long before you can particularly intimate openly that forgiveness when the person says sorry to you for what they did. But in the meantime, the Lord will support and he'll bless you for having that spirit within. And what a blessing it is to forgive the fault that someone else has done. Ephesians 4 verse 32, be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. kindness. Forgiveness in the church. We're to be concerned about it. We're to be humble. We see that in verse 12, humbleness of mind, that will help, won't it? And meekness, long-suffering. Lord, give us grace. Let there be forgiveness in the church. But let me say this again as I close. Don't take advantage of a loving, forgiving brother or sister. They've just got to put up with me. They've just got to bear with my unkind words. Sadly, Christians can think like that. No. Don't take advantage. Don't act in a way that hurts others. Get down on your knees and ask the Lord to forgive you. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You see, we want to be following Christ in the congregation, in the churches. We want to walk with Christ. We want to walk in love, as we see in Ephesians. We want to walk in this pathway of forgiveness. May the Lord help us to do so. Well, we've considered life in the church. The Lord willing, in the new year, we'll consider life in the marriage. From Matthew 19. May the Lord help us in these things. For his name's sake. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, we come humbly to thee because we confess we can be at fault. We are to blame. Oh, Lord, forgive us our sins, we pray. And teach us to have this forgiving spirit. Lord, as we think of this, we think of Christ. What an amazing example. When he was there on the cross in such agony and pain, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Lord, we're humbled by our Saviour. We're humbled by those words. He thought of those around him, but also thinking of us. Oh Lord, we are humbled. Help us to think much of Christ. And help us, O Lord, to be long-suffering, to be forbearing, particularly with those that hurt us. We don't say sorry. Lord, help us, we pray. And where we struggle, come alongside. And Lord, look on the forgiving spirit we have, we pray. We thank thee for these directions. We thank thee for the challenge of thy word. We thank thee for the leading to help us to consider Christ more in these things. Oh, we are so thankful for that forgiveness in the heart of Christ. Blessed Lord, we grieve thee, but we thank thee for the light of thy countenance returning. And thou hast comforted us often that all is well. Oh, Heavenly Father, that thou art such a Father to us. Hear us, O Lord. Help us in these things. Bless us, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
We turn to our final praise. Psalm 122. Psalm 122, verses 6 to 9. Pray that Jerusalem may have peace and felicity. Let them that love thee and thy peace have still prosperity. Psalm 122, verses 6 to 9, to the tune Free Church.
Pray that Jerusalem.
bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.